Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is time to continue our conversations. Well, to start a new year of conversations here on Faith and Family, and glad to have the opportunity to do so. I hope that you had a great Christmas and still celebrating Christmas, Epiphany right around the corner, and a great new year. And something that some of us think about when we're thinking of those New Year's resolutions and those types of things and what we're going to do in the year ahead. Well, we might be thinking about education, college, and for those who are looking at vocations in education, in teaching, we have a unique experience that we're going to talk about today with some friends from Concordia University Chicago. They provide an opportunity for their students who are in education programs, who are planning to be teachers, preparing to be teachers, for an experience that, unlike any other, a unique teaching experience, an international teaching experience. We're going to talk about that today here on Faith and Family. We'll talk with administration and one of the students here about their perspective. And we'll also find out from the Office of International Mission here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod about some opportunities to serve as an international missionary. So hope you can join us for all the conversation. Hope you can stick around. Lots of great conversation ahead. Want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about them on our website as well, kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section. Joining me by phone now, Joy Mullaney. She's the coordinator of field experience at Concordia University Chicago. Good morning, Joy.
Hi, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Looking forward to spending some time talking with you. Thanks for taking some time out of your schedule today to talk with us. I know it's kind of quiet on campus with students out this week coming back from Christmas break soon. So I appreciate you taking time out of your quiet week to spend some time talking with us about this field experience for Concordia students. And Concordia University Chicago is my alma mater as well, a DCE student and communication student. I graduated twice from Concordia University.
Okay,
once from Concordia University River Forest and once from Concordia University Chicago.
Okay. So,
but glad to have this opportunity to talk with you today about this experience for our current students at Concordia University Chicago, those in studying education and preparing to serve as teachers. Tell us a little bit about your work and what you do as the coordinator of field experience and what that provides for students.
Well, Andy, my role is to oversee all of the placements, the student teaching placements, as well as the 100 hours of pre-teaching work. Our office supervises the 100 hours that's required by Illinois before they can even start student teaching. And we also supervise the actual student teaching process, so the placement, the supervision of the student teachers, if there are any problems with, you know, maybe not a very good fit, we kind of deal with those and kind of, you know, make amends where we need to. But for the most part, all of our students, you know, are very well prepared and are successful in their student teaching placement.
Well, very good. Why is this field experience, this education that happens out in the field, why is this important for students, especially considering this vocation of teaching?
Well, the clinical hours, the 100 hours of pre-student teaching, we require our students to get a varied opportunities to observe and to assist in the teaching field. You know, if you are like maybe a Lutheran school student who only has the perspective of a small private school, not very diverse, or if you come from a very diverse area, you know, you're not seeing all different types. You're only kind of looking at education from, you know, your own experience. So we require that our students have varied experiences in their 100 hours. And that way, they kind of get to know who they are, what their vocation is, what their plan is, where they want to student teach, where they want to end up teaching. And so that's really important as far as the preclinical or the clinical work that they do prior to student teaching.
So what should a student expect to gain from this student teaching experience?
Well, Andy, you know what? They have so much book work and theory and practice, but taking over your own class, That's an experience that we can only, you know, experience once, right, for the first time. Our students are expected to work collaboratively with their cooperating teacher. The principals usually select, or always select, cooperating teachers for our student teachers to work under, who are experienced, who are good teachers, who know how to collaborate, who know how to co-teach. And so their our students, our teacher candidates, are experiencing, you know, top-notch collaboration with a cooperating teacher who's experienced. Sometimes our students will start off, you know, like we differentiate for all of our students in a classroom, we differentiate for our student teachers as well. So some student teachers might be ready to jump in at the end of the first week out of the 16-week placement. Others might have to go in a little more slowly. So the cooperating teachers use their own good judgment as to, you know, how fast they're going to get their student teachers active in planning and assessment and instruction and all that.
So they gain this real world experience, this experience out in the classroom, this hands-on experience that prepares them for their own classroom in the future. How do you assess that? How do you evaluate their experience? What are you looking for? What are you hoping that they'll learn in this experience? And how do you evaluate that?
How do we evaluate? Well, my office hires university supervisors. So sometimes, like, we would have full-time faculty take on the responsibility of supervising the student teachers. Sometimes I hire outside former principals, or if we have out of town, you know, out of state, or out of country, we have to hire university supervisors to represent. So the university supervisors have, you know, several formative meetings with their student teachers. And what we look at is, you know, do they know the content knowledge? Are they competent in, say, if they're a math teacher, social studies, are they competent in their content area? Do they know about human learning and appropriate developmental stages of their ages of their students? Can they deal with a diverse classroom? So by diverse, I mean diverse in learning, diverse in culture, and is a teacher, the student teacher, competent in that area? We also, of course, look at planning and instruction. You know, a teacher doesn't walk into the classroom without, like, lots of hours of planning.
Right.
So we look at, you know, can a student teacher plan? Can he or she carry out instruction? Is the learning environment appropriate to learning, conducive to learning? We also look at assessment. Does our student teacher know how to assess both formatively and summatively? We also look at things, collaboration. I mentioned that before. And also, of course, we expect professional conduct and, you know, the way you dress, the way you speak to people, the way you mm-hmm. communicate. All of that is a part of the assessment. We also have an Illinois assessment, and actually most of the states have the same assessment. It's called EdTIPA, EdTIPA. Anyway, it's an electronic portfolio for assessment. And so basically we have our students focus on planning, instruction, and assessment. So, you know, what about assessment? When we see, okay, these kids got it, right? These kids didn't. What do you do with the kids who got it, right? They're proficient. What do you do with the kids who aren't there yet? So, you know, all of that, you know, we talk about assessment, but what do you do with assessment? And that's really an important piece that we evaluate.
So student teaching has been an important part of preparing teachers for a long time. That field experience has been a part of that teacher formation for a long time at Concordia.
Right.
This past year we had students. The last couple of years, it sounds like, over the last year or two, we've had some students that did a unique student teaching experience. Rather than teaching here in the United States, they had a teaching experience abroad in international settings.
Right, and that's really exciting for us. I think this has been going on for 3 or 4 years. We have Lutheran connections out of the country. So we use some of our students request to go overseas, and they would either go to Shanghai, China, Hong Kong, Hanoi, Vietnam, Australia. So our Lutheran connections are actually American schools. So they're LCMS schools that we send our students to. We don't just send anybody, of course. You know, we've got to make sure that our top-notch students are going out of the country. So, you know, sometimes students come in as freshmen or sophomore students, and they see this. Like, this is an opportunity I can work towards. So they also note that they have to have a 3.5 grade point average, and we have to have, you know, several letters of recommendation. We have an interview process, you know, to find out kind of what's motivating you to go out of state or out of the country. And so we don't just let anybody go. You know, we want to make sure that, you know, the people who want to go, the students who want to go, are going to be well-equipped and, you know, they can handle this big culture change, right?
Mm-hmm.
For 16 weeks. So, but it's a pretty exciting thing. You know, this semester, I have 5 students who applied for next year. We like to send students out in pairs, you know, but it's not mandatory. So out of my 5 students, I think 2 want to go to, they don't care. They just want to go to Asia, right? So, and then, you know, 1 wants to go somewhere where there's Spanish being spoken. And so, you know, everybody's got their own motivation. And it's a pretty exciting program. I'm glad that we have the opportunity to offer the program.
This cross-cultural experience really is, I think, valuable. As you were talking about earlier, for many of us who were, you know, as a college student going into education, your previous experience, your own experience, might have been very limited, might not have been very diverse, or might have been diverse in only a certain way. So to have this opportunity to learn and teach in another setting, in another culture, I think is certainly very valuable, but also presents some challenges. What measures were taken to prepare these students as they, you know, went to a new culture, a new setting to teach?
Well, I'm kind of new in my role, mm-hmm. so I haven't really had a lot of experience, but I did interview some people here about this, what we do. So what we do is we have like a pre-departure kind of orientation, several meetings. We actually have Dr. Pete Wren is our director of world outreach. So he's really our contact, and he helps prepare our students. We also have an international faculty member, Dr. Daniel Lowe, who's actually he's from Shanghai, okay? And so he's a valuable resource. He sat in on the interview process for our 5 applicants. And, you know, they talk about the culture and, you know, different things that they should expect and kind of prepare them that way. I will say that since it's these schools that we send them to are American schools, but a lot of the schools, they invite or they have students from all over the world, but
sure.
that they're American-speaking schools. So we send our public candidates and our Lutheran candidates out there. Whoever kind of applies and makes it, we'll let them go.
So how do you make that decision? How do you prepare, you know, how do you decide who to send to what location and who's ready for an international experience? How do you make those decisions?
Yeah, right. So here's the thing. We are so small, you know, our faculty, our professors know the students so well. Mm-hmm. They know what their strengths are. They know what their areas that they need to grow in. And so really, the recommendations that we get are the people, the students who apply, they have to have letters of reference. And so the letters of reference clearly show, you know, if a student is ready or not. If there's hesitation, then we would try to accommodate in a different way. Maybe you can go out of state or a different, you know, we try to accommodate their needs. But if they're not ready, according to their professors, they probably wouldn't even be applying, to be honest.
Sure.
But so you asked about how do we decide where?
Mm-hmm.
This is all based on, you know, who can accommodate us. So if we have a middle school social studies teacher who wants to go to Hanoi, and there's no there is not an experienced teacher there who would be able to take our student, mm-hmm. then we would maybe make another recommendation or try another school, you know, kind of work closely with our student teacher saying, hey, this is not possible. You know, your request is not possible, but would you consider this? We would have to work with them based on availability.
So primarily you're working with the LCMS International Schools in Hanoi and Shanghai. Is that right?
Right. And then I think there's another one. Let's see. Shanghai, Hong Kong International School, and Concordia International in Hanoi. Right. And I think there's, I'm not sure if it's LCMS, but I think there's another school in Australia that we have worked with.
Mm-hmm.
But we also, just for your information, we also work with the other Concordia universities and kind of collaborate so that we don't, you know, all make the same request to the same school.
Sure.
So there is that college connection.
Well, and that, I'm sure, does take a lot of collaboration and coordination mm-hmm. to make that happen. What has been the response of the students who completed their student teaching experience? Now, we are going to talk with one student. We're going to talk with Kayla Lohman in a little bit. She is a unique student teacher, Ed, as well as director of Christian education. So we're going to talk with her about her experience as well in just a little bit. But overall, what has been the response from many of the students?
Right. Yeah, so I know Kayla Lohman. And in fact, we had I had a meeting with her when she came back. And you know what? The response from all these students is, and I've even looked at other university sites about their programs, but the response is pretty much, this is life-changing. It's transformational. Students wouldn't have changed anything. They are so excited that, you know, they've made really good connections, relationships. They talk about going back. They connect with their host families, and it's just phenomenal. They're just so thankful and grateful for the opportunity. And our student teachers who go out there, they spend time on the weekends, you know, sightseeing, and they take their classes on field trips so they learn mm-hmm. together. I just think if you want to take a good look at Kayla's experience after you talk to her, check out on our website, on our Concordia website, Chicago,
mm-hmm.
The Forrester, that's our, you know, our communication. So look at the Forrester Fall 2015. Just put that in a search and go to page 14 and 15, and you'll get to read a whole lot about the different experiences that our students have had.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. You can read Kayla's story and a couple of other students in the Forrester as well. From mm-hmm. You're right, from the fall issue of the Forrester, the 2015 fall issue,
right.
And read those stories there. As a coordinator of field experience, what, from your perspective, how valuable is an international teaching experience or a student teaching experience?
Student teaching in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't go into your own classroom without it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, most of our students, probably 99% of our students, just have a great connection with their cooperating teacher. What we like to start out with is, like, let's do some co-teaching, and that's been a really good model, so that a student teacher and a cooperating teacher would maybe, you know, if you're familiar with elementary school where they have centers. So we'll have three centers going on. Maybe one's a reading center, one's a math center, one's a writing center. So, you know, there's all different kinds of models for co-teaching, but we find that if our cooperating teachers co-plan and co-teach and co-assess, that's a really good way for our teachers to get comfortable right away. Eventually, of course, you know, the student teacher is going to be taking over the whole day, because if you don't ever get there, then you're not going to be able to run your own classroom. But, student teaching is what we all look forward to, right? I mean, some of our student teachers, they knew when they were kids that they wanted to be a teacher. Some of our master's students, for example, you know, went into a different profession, and now they're working on their master's to get their Illinois teaching degree. But, you know, no matter where you come from or how long you've known you wanted to be a teacher, you know, all the books that you read and all the observations that you do, it's not like having your own classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's just the culmination of everything you've wanted.
Why, from your perspective as the field experience coordinator, why is it valuable? What do these students gain from the international student teaching experience that is going to be so valuable as a teacher in the classroom in the future?
Well, I think, like I said, the diversity, when you go out of the mm-hmm. country and you go into a totally different culture, some of our student teachers have never been outside of their little bubble here mm-hmm. in Illinois. And, you know, when you go out and see what else is out there and all these different kinds, you know, different cultural values and just the diversity, you know, in these schools that they're going to, it just broadens their whole perspective.
Absolutely. I would agree that just getting out and experiencing a different culture can shape that student's experience when they become a teacher in their own classroom, helping them look at their students, helping their students look at the world from a different perspective, perhaps a broader perspective of the world rather than just their own little community. Certainly, being well aware of what's going on in their community is important, but what's going on in the rest of the world as well.
Right, right. And, you know, in this article, the students who have gone through those experiences talk about that, and they learn from their students, and they just have a different relationship than, I think, what you can get in your own hometown here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Joy, with with just a less than a minute left, anything else you'd like to share with us about the students and the student teachers who were teaching abroad this last year?
Well, we actually didn't have any this last year. So the most recent was Kayla Lohman and her little group. But so, like I said, I'm in my second year here, so I haven't really had the experience of working on that. So now with our five who are applying for next year, then I'll be able to tell you more next year, I guess, after they go through their experience.
Well, very good. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us today. ConcordiaChicago.edu is the website, right?
Right, right.
Very
just
good.
Put the search Forrester Fall 15 and look at page 14 and 15.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Joy. Thanks for being our guest today on Faith and Family. It was a pleasure to talk with you today.
Thanks for having me.
Very good.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll hear from Kayla Lohman, one of the students who took advantage of that student teaching international experience. And she's on her DCE internship as well, so we'll hear a little bit about that as well. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
A new test has been developed that reveals the sex of an unborn baby at only 7 weeks into pregnancy. The test analyzes the unborn baby's DNA in the mother's blood. This means if a couple has a girl and one a boy, they can have this non-invasive test and abort early in pregnancy. In the past, it's taken a sonogram to determine the baby's sex, which would require a late-term abortion. The concept of an early abortion is less appalling to many people. As a result, the number of sex selection abortions is bound to increase. Several countries have banned sex selection abortion because in part it creates a gender imbalance favoring boys. This test would make it impossible to enforce such laws and needs to be taken off the market to protect lives.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
This week on Issues Etc., we'll discuss the birth of Jesus with Pastor Tom Baker, the visit of the Magi with Dr. Carl Fakencher, pop culture with Pastor Jonathan Fisk, Christ in the Old Testament with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Rosebro, and we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the year.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO. If you have a question about the LCMS, contact the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Church Information Center, and you'll be connected with a real person who can help you find the answer. Call 1-888-THE-LCMS or 1-888-843-5267 or email them infocenter@lcms.org. Helping you with your questions and finding you resources. The LCMS Church Information Center.
You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are talking about student teaching today, but not just your average student teaching. We are talking about student teaching abroad, a great opportunity that some students at Concordia University Chicago have taken advantage of. And joining me today via Skype, we have Kayla Lohman. She is served her student teaching and now actually serving as a DCE intern in Hawaii. Kayla, thanks so much for being our guest today.
You're welcome.
Looking forward to hearing about your experiences as a student. Before we get much into the student teaching experience, what led up to your interest in studying education, Christian education, at Concordia University Chicago?
Yeah, both my parents are church workers in the LCMS, so they definitely inspired my path to attend Concordia University Chicago, and I couldn't really decide if I wanted to be a teacher or a DCE, and CUC offered me the opportunity to do both, so I took it.
Well, very good. And so studying at Concordia Chicago, so it sounds like a dual program, Lutheran teacher education as well as DCE
yes.
program. And so you've served your student teaching, which is really what we're going to focus on today. But now you've served your student teaching, now you're serving your DCE internship and serving in Hawaii. Tell us a little bit about your present surroundings, where you're serving today.
Yes, I'm serving at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Aiea, Hawaii, which is just right down the road from Pearl Harbor, in a diverse community, but we serve a lot of military families who are always coming and going from the island. So I'm primarily working with youth and family ministry, youth group on Sunday night, Sunday school coordinating. We had a family hike on Saturday, just lots of ways to connect the people here to the church.
Very good. Well, so glad that you are there and learning and growing. Let's now go back to your service as an education major and doing your student teaching. When did you first learn about the opportunity to do your student teaching abroad?
CUC's International Student Teaching Program has been going on since 2012, I believe, and there's been a handful of us who have gone out abroad for student teaching. So I had a couple of older friends who student taught at Concordia Shanghai, and so I heard about that, and it kind of made me interested, got my attention. And then in January of 2013, I went with Concordia to Thailand on a mission trip for 2 weeks, and that really opened my eyes up to international opportunities. And so when it came time for my international student teaching application process, it was one of those things where I thought, if I don't do this, I'll always wonder, what if I had done it? So that's really why I jumped in, prayed about it, and there were various options throughout Asia for my student teaching. But since I'd been to Southeast Asia once before, when I saw Vietnam on the list, I thought that would be a good opportunity for me to see Southeast Asian culture a little bit more, but in a different context.
What is it about the Southeast Asia region that really grabbed your interest?
I just found it's so interesting, and the people welcoming and friendly, and it's not a place I would have ever planned or expected to fall in love with for myself, but it's just where I ended up.
And so what was your experience like student teaching there it was in Vietnam, correct?
Yes, in Vietnam, in the capital city of Hanoi, which is to the north.
And so tell us about arriving there as a student teacher and getting settled in your first couple of weeks there.
Yeah, I traveled with another student from Concordia, Chicago. So the two of us spent about 32 hours traveling to get to Vietnam. So we were three flights. We were very weary when we stepped off the plane, but also very excited. And we were blessed to be hosted by another Concordia Chicago alumni, and she's a music teacher at the school there and had just started. So just jumped in right away with exploring the city, getting acclimated to the school. I was at Concordia International School in Hanoi, which is a fairly new international school. So I was really excited to engage in their community with students from all around the world.
What is, explain to us the international school is like. I know that we have a handful of international schools. How are they different than other schools in Vietnam, for example?
Yeah, the LCMS has three international schools, and they serve families who are in these international cities for various reasons. At Concordia Hanoi, there's a lot of parents who are businessmen and women in the city, parents who work for state government agencies, and others who work for various non-for-profit, they call them NGO organizations, which work to serve those countries and communities at large. So it's students from all around the world. The instruction is all in English, so many of parents may not speak English themselves, but send their students to these schools so that they can master our language.
So the international school concept is really a neat concept. It provides a unique opportunity for a number of students. How many students would you say attend Concordia International School in Hanoi?
It's a growing school. I know it's probably bigger this year because every year they're almost doubling their school size as they gain classrooms and more staff. There are about 200 students when I was there, a class for every grade, preschool through 10th grade. And then in the coming years, it'll go all the way through 12th grade as they have their first high school graduating class.
As a student teacher there, what would you say you gained from your experience being in this international setting, but also there to provide some teaching and to learn from that teaching experience? Mm-hmm. What did you gain? What did you learn about the students, about the culture, about yourself, about teaching? What are some of the things that you learned or gained from that teaching experience?
Yeah, there's so much that I gained, and I think now since I've been back for a year this coming December, and I think I'm still learning all that I gained, because every day I was gaining so much. But I think the biggest thing I gained was perspective in a whole bunch of different ways. Globally, I see the world in a different way. I had 14 fourth grade students, and they all came from different places and had such unique stories. And when you hear from children just how they see the world, it helps you see the world in a different way. I had one student who he came in fourth grade, didn't know any English, and I've always taken for granted that I can speak this complex language. And I was with him when he wrote his first paragraph, and that was so exciting to see, and just to have a deeper appreciation for what we're given, and just almost take for granted in the United States. Freedom of religion isn't as present in Vietnam, that's for sure. And then personally, I gained perspective in how I plan things. I always like to have everything planned to a T, but being abroad, there were so many things that I couldn't have planned for that just happened that were so amazing and wonderful. And then stepping out of my comfort zone is where I think I learned the most, whether it was teaching something I wasn't comfortable with or visiting places that maybe weren't on the top of my list. But the biggest thing I think I gained was perspective, that's for sure.
What was most challenging about this experience?
I think what's most challenging is you get off the plane and you're in a place that's nowhere like home, really. There's some little aspects that you find that remind you of home, but you're making a place that's foreign to you home. Hanoi is filled with motorbikes and more motorbikes instead of cars. And the language you see on the signs is not the language you speak or and the way when you're in a cab, figuring out where you need to go when you don't speak the language of the cab driver. So just those cultural things that I had to adjust to was the hardest. But it was one of those things where you jump in, get out of your comfort zone and learn a lot because of it.
Has it in any way provided any interest for you in maybe serving internationally in the future as well?
I definitely, it's something I consider. I'm still deciding what I want to do next, whether I'll continue as a DCE, pursue a teaching career, but definitely the experience opened my eyes to opportunities abroad, and I do definitely think about that in my future.
How might your student teaching experience shape your philosophy and service as an educator, whether it's as a teacher or as a DCE? I know you're in your internship as a DCE mm-hmm. now and still experiencing that. But how did this experience, or how do you think might this experience that you've had as a student teacher shape your philosophy, your approach to Christian education?
I think it definitely shapes my educational philosophy in both areas. As I was talking about perspective, I have a more global perspective now. At Concordia Hanoi, they talked a lot about active global citizenship for all of their students. And I definitely, whether I'm in the classroom or in youth group, I want the students I'm with or the youth I'm serving to see the world globally, that they're not just in a small community, but they're a part of the whole world. And I'm reminded too of the Great Commission that says to go and make disciples of all nations. And that definitely impacts my philosophy as I consider mm-hmm. The world as a place to go out into, not just where I'm at.
For students who might be thinking about student teaching abroad, mm-hmm. who might be giving this international student teaching an opportunity, what advice might you share with them if they're considering it, or two, if they've decided to go for it?
Yeah, I'd say pray about it and know that God is the one in control of the journey, and he's going to take you to places you can't even expect and help you to grow in ways you can't even imagine. And for those considering it, definitely pray about it. And for those who have decided that it's something they want to do, just take the leap and embrace it. And don't be afraid. Do things that you would never do yourself. And just rely on God's strength all the way.
Now is certainly the time as a student. I'm so glad that you thought through that. If I don't do this now, I may regret this later. If I don't take advantage of this international opportunity now, you may not necessarily have that opportunity in the future.
Definitely a once in a lifetime experience.
So no regrets?
No regrets, that's for sure.
And now serving in Hawaii as a DCE intern. And then
another thing I couldn't have expected, but yeah,
it's now, awesome. How much longer, how long have you been on your internship in Hawaii?
Yeah, I arrived here in June, and I'll be here until at least past the National Youth Gathering. It's a full year-long internship, mm-hmm. so we'll see what happens after that.
Will you be traveling to the National Youth Gathering with students?
Yeah, I have a group of youth that I'm bringing from here. We have a little Hawaii team that's traveling to New Orleans. Yep.
How exciting for them, I'm sure.
And yeah.
I'm sure even, after serving in Hanoi and then coming back and finding out that you were going to Hawaii, that was probably just as exciting, it going from the mainland to the islands, huh?
Yes. It's a totally different culture here too. And despite what some of my friends think, I'm really not on the beach every day. There's just work to be done.
Despite what friends and family think.
Yeah.
It's not all beach ministry, huh?
No.
Well, Kayla, I'm so glad that you shared your story with us, and we first found it in the, you know, read your story in the Concordia University Chicago Forester, the magazine of Concordia University Chicago, and sharing your student teaching experience there. Thanks so much for being willing to share your story with us and with our listeners, and wish you well, and certainly we'll lift you up in prayer as you serve your internship there in Hawaii as well. God's blessings, and thanks for being our guest today on Faith and Family.
Thank you for having me.
Have you followed Worldwide KFUO on Facebook today? Something new and exciting is happening at facebook.com/KFUO radio. Follow along with KFUO each day. Get program information, listen to audio, and watch videos. Also see our photos. Get a peek on the other side of the microphone with pictures of programs and special events. Keep up with all the fun each day on facebook.com/KFUO radio. Remember to like us on Facebook and share us with your friends. Worldwide KFUO, a click away, 24 hours a day.
Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." Worldwide KFUO invites you to start and end your day with the Word of God and prayer, with morning prayer at 9 a.m. and evening prayer at 5 p.m. The broadcasts of morning prayer and evening prayer are underwritten by Lutherans for Life.
Weekdays on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates, and joining me in studio now, David Fiala, fellow DCE and with missionary recruitment in the Office of International Mission here at the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. You like how I threw that in there?
That was nice, Andy.
Well, Kayla's a DCE student as well, so I just had to mention that. Director of Christian Education. How are you, David?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm doing very well, thanks.
Merry Christmas, by the way, and a Happy New Year.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas. I know, a few days of Christmas left.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few days.
The short list.
Someone in the building wished me a blessed epiphany. I said, one holiday at a time. Let's not jump the gun here. All that.
That's, you know, coming. That's coming.
I'm done with the Christmas creep, you know, getting too early. Mm-hmm. Now, it's trying to say happy epiphany before it's time.
it's like, you know, being in America again for the first time in a long time and seeing Christmas stuff out, like when the Halloween stuff is still lingering in the stores, that still rocks my head. It's just like, what is this country all about?
You served as a missionary in
Slovakia, Czech Republic, Hungary, and Poland for a total of 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are we that old?
We are.
Okay, so coming back to the United States, in the last year? Last year
it's
and a
been
half?
A year and a half.
And the whole Christmas creep was just earlier and earlier. Oh. What was it like, though, where you were? You were in Slovakia?
Yeah, in Slovakia. Well, first of all, Halloween is not such a thing in Central Europe. It mm-hmm. is picking up, but really, sadly, it's the scary, demonic side of Halloween that everybody is really excited about in Europe, which is weird. I didn't really see that coming. It's not this kid-friendly holiday like it is in America. Oh, my goodness, just kid-friendly Halloween.
Well,
here.
There are lots of things in America that are not kid-friendly.
Well, Halloween's one of them, but primarily the holiday before Christmas for the Central Europeans was All Saints Day, mm-hmm. which, of course, is connected to Halloween, being that it's November 1st. But it's actually a very much a family-oriented holiday. Our kids even had the days off of school, so we could travel to visit the grave sites of dead relatives and celebrate the fact that, you know, they were Christians. And because my wife was a Slovak, we actually had a grave and a whole, well, it was basically a community that we went to visit. And there were lots of graves that we went to visit and put flowers and candles on All Saints Day. And our kids are kind of scratching their heads going, "Mom, Dad, why don't we go to the cemetery in America?" So it's a whole different experience for them. But yeah, there's All Saints Day, and what happens in the stores in Europe is you get all these candles that show up in the stores, because that's what you do on All Saints Day. You light candles and mm-hmm. you put them on the tombstones of your beloved dead relatives. And obviously we don't have that going on here in America before Christmas. So that's just a fun change. And And that's really it, because the Europeans, the Central Europeans, don't have a Thanksgiving holiday. So we don't have that kind of stuff. We don't have the pumpkin kind of stuff. It just, Christmas just kind of comes naturally, but they don't.
What about Advent?
Well, you know, Advent is, sure, it's there.
But they don't mess it up like we do.
No.
Get that early Christmas creep
however,
into Advent.
However, every child you will ever meet in Central Europe has a chocolate candy one door a day Advent calendar that goes up until December 24th, because Christmas Eve is actually the more celebrated Christmas holiday, more so than Christmas Day in Central Europe. So this year, my kids were like distraught. They had no chocolate one door a day Advent calendar. So, you know, these little things, they catch up with you.
We have those here in the United States, but they're always numbered incorrectly.
Really?
Because they always start on December 1st.
Oh.
As opposed to...
the beginning of Advent.
Advent, right.
That's right. Well, my wife asked my father, who dabbles with woodworking, to make a little Advent calendar. And basically, it's this beautiful wooden spiral that has 25 holes in it and a little donkey and a Mary figure that we can, he gave it to us as a Christmas present this year, and we hope to use it next year for the first time. But my wife asked for it like 3 years ago, and Dad just took his time getting around to it. But we can now count basically the days of December, not necessarily the days of Advent, and move that candle one slot, one hole in this spiral, the little donkey and Mary follows all the way into the middle of the spiral. And when you get to the middle place, boom, there's Christmas. So we were talking about how we could more Christianize this little spiral by putting in on the Sundays blue candles and, of course, the pink candle for Gaudete Sunday or whatever it's called.
The rose candle.
That's right. Is it pink or is it rose? That's a big debate here, isn't it? I've heard. I caught on to that this year for the first time ever in my life going, oh, it's not pink, it's rose. You know, who knew? You come back to America and you get clobbered by all kinds of fun stuff.
So you had a great experience as an international missionary.
Oh, indeed.
10 years serving as a missionary.
Indeed.
And now here at the International Center, helping others get connected with opportunities to serve as international missionaries.
That's right. That's actually why I'm here in the studio with you today, Andy, is it not?
It is. It is. And I understand there are some really neat opportunities. You have a neat list here of opportunities, particularly a lot of geo opportunities. Tell us a little bit about what is a geo missionary?
Okay, a geo missionary is globally engaged in outreach, and they serve for typically a two-year term. We do have some one-year geo positions, but typically it's a two-year initial commitment. And you come in and it's a term of service. You know your start date and you know your end date. So it's very different from career, in that career is typically an open-ended thing, just like a pastor or a teacher or a DCE here in the States. You get a call and you're there until the next call comes, or maybe God calls you home. With geo service, it's got a start date and an end date. You can be a professional church worker, and you can receive a call to be a geo missionary. It's just a slightly different type of a call, but we've got it all figured out, and it works just fine. And we have called workers who are serving as geos around the world right now. We have a lay minister, I believe, who graduated from Concordia, Wisconsin, who's serving in Slovakia in Central Europe, and it's a termed call. So here we have other positions like this around the world, and there are two that I'm really excited about to talk to you about today, Andy, and everybody out there who's listening. Thank you for listening, and goodness, if this doesn't sound like something interesting for you, but you know somebody who might be interested in being a missionary like this, oh goodness, please share this news with them. Two positions right now that we've got going on, and these are regional positions for geo missionary, so they have a start date and an end date. And these are actually, we need a person or several people for these positions in many of the regions around the world. LCMS Office of International Mission has a region called Eurasia, and we have a region called Latin America and Africa and, I guess, traditional Asia, and then possibly even Southeast Asia. So we think regionally. And the positions that we're looking for, one of them is a communications specialist intern. So it's going to be someone who's going to work with a career missionary who is the communications guru for the region. And this person is going to be learning a lot of ropes about professional communication and how this is positively impacting what we are doing in the region. It helps the missionaries on the ground do their work on the ground, and it also helps the missionaries share that work with their support base back here domestically in the U.S. So this intern career, this intern communications person is working together with a career missionary. So we're not just going to throw you out there and say, hey, good luck, God bless, and we hope you survive and watch out for the snakes. You know, it's not going to be anything like that. It's going to be, hey, you're part of a team. And maybe the person who you're working with has an amazing background in radio, and you actually have this amazing interest in blogging and Facebook, and you want to be able to use these. Well, you're going to be combining your strengths with what you're able to do and mm-hmm. what your team is able to do. So just because you can't do the video editing and the video capturing doesn't mean you can't do this, but mm-hmm. we do want people to capture and edit videos and to take photos and to possibly do radio broadcast. And goodness, it's a huge thing. And a lot of it is it's communications, telling our North American supporters of missionaries what the missionaries themselves are doing. And when you're assisting the missionary, you're actually then freeing up the missionary's time from doing some of that communication so he or she can focus more on doing the mission work. Now, you also will be a missionary. You're going to live overseas, and you're going to be a Christian, and people are going to look at you and go, hey, you don't look like you belong here. You have different kind of skin than we have. You have different kind of hair than we have. And people notice these things when you're a missionary. Yeah, I was in Central Europe, but I was not a Central European. I mean, I am this Caucasian kind of white kind of guy, but I wasn't a Slovak. And people could see it, and they would ask me, what are you doing here? And that would be the first step usually in a conversation of, well, hey, you asked why I'm here. Can I tell you why I'm here? Let me tell you all about who Jesus is and why it matters so much. That's why I'm here. And you, as a communications person, you're going to have that opportunity, and people are going to be asking you, what are you doing in my country? Why are you here? So you also will very much be a missionary, not just a communications person.
Now, you mentioned watch out for snakes. Is that any indication as to where these opportunities are available?
We do have communications a role in Africa, and yeah, there are snakes. Well, there's snakes everywhere. I mean, we even had snakes in Slovakia, so we have snakes here in North America, in Missouri, for crying out loud. Cottonheads and coppermouths and all them rattlesnakes and stuff. You know, whatever they're called. You know, we've got snakes everywhere. But don't let the snakes
backwards.
What?
All right. Well, just about a minute and a half left. So communications intern.
Mm-hmm.
Any others?
We also have a business manager intern. Again, we have a huge role in every mission region for the missionaries to be cared for financially. And, you know, they need to get paid, and they have to get their budgets in, and they have to get the dollars mm-hmm. for the projects that they're coordinating. We need to have somebody on the ground who's doing all that background stuff and doing all the accounting for it, because goodness knows, people want to look at our books and make sure we're doing the right thing. And so we need people who also have these kinds of skills to assist with the team, the leadership team in every region.
So accounting, business
manager. Basically what it's going to be is a regional business manager intern, similar to the communications specialist mm-hmm. intern. And it's a regional position, and you will probably even have a chance to work in various places in the region. And we have these openings are global.
I was going to say real briefly, any idea where some of the business manager intern opportunities are?
Well, I've got listed here on my sheet of paper, Kenya, Hong Kong, Czech Republic, which would probably be Prague, and the Dominican Republic. So those are just some of the locations, and those are the same locations as the communications specialists.
How do we find you? How do we find out about these opportunities?
You can find us on the web in two places. Mm-hmm. One of them is lcms.org/service.
Okay.
And you can also find us on Facebook. If you would type in LCMS Missionary Recruitment into your search engine on Facebook, or possibly one big long word, become a missionary. And you can find us, and you can ask more questions. You can get the conversation going. You can even call me. My number here at the IC is 314-996-1318.
One more time.
314-996-1318.
Thank you, sir. David Fiala, Missionary Recruitment, Office of International Mission, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Thanks for being our guest today.
You're welcome, Andy. Thank you.
Absolutely. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word with Pastor Whedon.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.